The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and give the glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. I'd like to introduce to you Abby Brown. She's a new member of All Saints and an eighth grader at Bailey Middle School in Huntersville. This fall, their class was scheduled to read a book called All American Boys. It was a controversial book, it still is. It talks about a white police officer's attack on a black teenager. And there was a lot of controversy in the community as to whether or not the students should even read this book. In the end, the students did read the book, and Abby used the conflict as a subject matter of an essay she wrote for the Charlotte Mecklenburg MLK Writing Contest. The students were asked to reflect on Dr. King's words from Letter from the Birmingham Jail. And these words are, "Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. We are caught in an inescapable network of mutuality tied by a single garment of destiny. What affects one directly affects all indirectly." Abby not only won her essay for her school, she won the essay for the entire Charlotte Mecklenburg County and participated in the MLK Day parade and was honored at the Charlotte Mecklenburg Dr. Martin Luther King National Observance Celebration. Abby Brown.
Thank you so much for having me. Our inescapable connection. Through much controversy and debate, Bailey Middle School decided to allow its 2019 through 2020 eighth grade students to read All American Boys, a novel addressing police brutality, white supremacy, and white privilege. In the book, a white cop physically assaults Rashad Butler, a black teenager who is trying to buy a bag of chips. This attack creates controversy in the community as people pick sides and decide who to support and defend. According to Dr. Martin Luther King, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. We are caught in an inescapable network of mutuality tied by a single garment of destiny. What affects one directly affects us all indirectly. The story and quote compels us to think about where we stand in our own communities when confronted with racism and injustice. Martin Luther King Jr. saw these problems and tried to solve them with every march, protest, debate, and conversation he was in. At Bailey Middle School, concerns about students being exposed to content that could make them question police actions almost caused All American Boys not to be read. But this book has provided a platform for many students to express raw emotions and create communities within our own classrooms. As eighth graders, we have been analyzing and discussing injustices based on race. We have seen through the progression of this book the positive impact of the network of mutuality that Dr. King proposed. But mutuality is not created by passive voices. It is created by activists who use the connection between us all to create a network of togetherness. Many of us have chosen to be a passive voice in a world that needs active ones, protesting injustice and protecting our common destiny. It's a question of whether we are willing to accept the challenge of unifying our country by seeing that we are one. Quinn Collins, a white witness to what happened to Rashad, embarks on an internal journey throughout the whole novel, constantly going back and forth between whether to stand up against injustice or listen to his whitewashed friend's views. At the end of the book, Quinn overcomes the Civil War and joins a protest against police brutality, which brings public awareness to Rashad's story. Injustice directly and indirectly affects the whole town of Springfield and causes the students to discover that they are tied by a single garment of destiny. Because of the eighth grade's collaboration around the story, timely topics have been discussed that otherwise would not have been. Our empathy and moral ethics can inspire us to see our inescapable connection with each other. As a new generation, we are directly creating a new destiny through every word we speak, step we take, and action we carry out. Let's make it count and carry forward Dr. Martin Luther King's legacy. Thank you.
She's a hard act to follow. In the name of the loving, liberating, life-giving God, amen. So, justice. Discussions of justice have been much in the news recently. And as the controversy swirl, I thought it was a good time to revisit what Holy Scripture tells us about justice. We know that God is love. We know that God is holy. God is also just. So what does it mean to say God is just? And what is justice? Justice means to make right or to make whole. And justice is part of the inherent nature of God. It flows from God's heart and character into the human beings whom God created in God's own image. As true and good, God seeks to make these human beings, the object of his love, whole. And the people of God are called to live in right relationship with God, one another, and all creation. Contribute to the building up and making right and making whole. Justice is an active relational term. It's both individual and corporate in scope. Biblical justice is setting what is wrong right, making individuals, community, and all the created order whole by upholding goodness and impartiality. The prophets are always attending to justice and always speaking truth into a reluctant world, a world we know that is not fair, a world where evil abounds, a world where again and again the oppressed people of God complain and petition God to act on their behalf to restore justice. Scripture is replete with stories of how God's people long for the time when God will decisively intervene to establish justice on earth. This morning, we join the prophet Isaiah, as the people of Israel have returned from exile in Babylon. For the people of God, worship, faithfulness, all was difficult in Babylon. Now they're able to come back to the mountain of God, the city set upon the hill. Now that worship returns to Jerusalem, the expectation of God's delight and favor with the people runs high, but the reality is not satisfying. The heady days of liberation have given way to the heavy lifting of rebuilding. The people are genuinely confused. They are clear that God loves them, and you can only complain, frankly, to someone you know who loves you. Think about that. They're clear that God loves them. They understand that God's holy, and they're God's holy people, but still, something's wrong. They've been faithful in worship, but God is letting them down. They've been working hard. Things are still a mess. In fact, they're a mess. So, reflecting on Scripture, they're reminded, yet God declares judgment on sin, not people, sin. Remember that. God declares judgment on sin, not people. And fasting is the biblical default response to sin. The biblical default for contrition. So they fast. And fasting has a long and storied history. At a time when the actual work of food preparation was much more difficult, there were no Instapots. Couldn't go to a grocery store, and things did not come prepackaged. Fasting provided more time to get clarity, not only about their hunger for God, but perhaps more importantly, about God's hunger for God's people. But fasting hasn't worked. And so we enter into the controversy, and we hear that love and holiness cannot be separated from justice. Just as God's love and holiness are not separated from God's justice, neither can it be for God's people. Holy practices, spiritual practices, cannot be separated from justice making. Religious fervor is not a substitute for righteous living. Fasting was not working for the people because they had made that separation. Their spiritual workout was not connected to a faithful response in daily life. And listen to God's response. God says, no, this is the fast I choose. A fast not from food, but from laying heavy burdens on others, blaming others, speaking evil of others. Fasting from ignoring the needs of other people, leaving people hungry, homeless, and naked. Fasting from contempt, self-satisfaction, and entitlement. Fasting from inaction and apathy. This is the fast God seeks. Justice and generosity, day in and day out. We cannot worship God disconnected from the rest of our living. We cannot have a full relationship with God, either individually or corporately, without a just relationship with one another and all creation. The consequences of our choices affect God. God doesn't act in isolation. God expects a partnership with a restored and restorative people, people who make justice, people who participate in the life of God as God's agents in the world. When blaming stops, reconciliation can begin. When dignity is restored, gifts are unleashed. When right relationship is pursued, God is present with the people. God is present in this kind of fasting because people and communities are becoming whole. When you listen to Isaiah, you hear the promises that darkness will become light, that physical strength will be restored, that God will be present to guide and satisfy and make of the people a watered garden, productive and peaceful. When we as the people of God discover and respond to injustice and oppression, to hunger and homelessness, we swell with compassion and grow in new life. Isaiah is not trying to scare the people with a long to-do list. It's not a list of orders and a demand to obey. Isaiah is inviting the people to see what is wrong, what is missing, what needs to be cared for, what needs to be made whole, because God has seen them. God has seen the hurt and the helplessness and the isolation and the despair and attended to the people with compassion. Across the centuries, God has responded to God's people and calls upon them and us to respond to the needs of others with that compassion. God is holy. God is love, but God is also committed to justice and making the whole creation whole. So to be in relationship with a loving, liberating, life-giving God is to be about the work of making justice. And then our light shall break forth like the dawn. 500 years later, Jesus encounters the same situation. The people are hurting and oppressed and despairing. They're feeling abandoned. And Jesus doesn't say, "Oh, poor boys and girls." Jesus doesn't let them off the hook. Jesus says, "You're the light of the world. You know what to do. You know how to live. You have the words of Scripture, and I'm not going to change any of them." Jesus challenges apathy and cynicism and despair, reminding the people, hey, we created the mess we're in. And God seems to be determined that we're going to help clean it up. With the help of God, certainly, but not sitting and watching God at work. God chooses to act through God's people, sending the light of the world into the world in Jesus and challenging Jesus' followers to shine. No matter how dark it gets, darkness cannot overcome even the smallest of lights. The divine compassion that drenched us at our baptism, forgave our sins for all time, and marked us as children of God, beloved children of God, marked us forever. That's the same compassion that we are called to respond in and through and with. In that work, we will be sustained as a watered garden and push back the darkness. The history of All Saints is a history of a community responding with compassion. It's a history of individuals acting to make whole. And today, we are about new work in racial reconciliation, corporately, together, and individually, one-on-one. And if you haven't stuck your toes in that water, there's an introductory conference coming called Groundwater. I invite you to take a chance. Go in here. We're involved in the care of creation corporately in the work that we're doing here and the trees that are being provided into the community. 200 trees in the fall. It may be a small step in the face of 36 million lost in our urban areas, but it's a step. And think about what would happen if every church provided 200 trees to plant. So that's the thing, is the multiplier is extraordinary. We're also acting on behalf of children who live in poverty, working here at All Saints, but also at the state level and at the national level to lift up the needs and to take action. My friends, you are the light of the world. Not you will be, not you might be, not you should be. You are. You are the light of the world. You've got what it takes. You are the people of God. You're it. So every day, take your light, however big or small, and do something to make justice. Do something to set this world right. Do something to help make it whole. Shine and push back the darkness.